You were faster.
Blog Talk Radio.
Because we all stood together. And went on to say, quote, for the first time since the pandemic began, the entire world came together.
Starting today, fully vaccinated Americans can finally enter Canada without a mandatory 14-day quarantine. At the Ambassador Bridge in Detroit, Michigan, resident Maxine Izzo said it's a good day for her.
I don't know. I just hope I start crying because I'm feeling for club now. Yeah. I knew when it opened I'd be over on the first day.
Canada closed its border to non-essential travel in March of last year as the pandemic began to take hold. American visitors still need to meet all the requirements, including a negative COVID-19 test. The vaccine must also be approved by the Canadian government, a list that includes Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, and AstraZeneca. Actor and comedian Jim Belushi and his wife Jennifer Sloan are ending their 23-year marriage. USA Today reports 67-year-old Belushi filed for divorce on Friday in Los Angeles. Belushi told The Hollywood Reporter last year that Sloan spends much of her time in L.A. running a children's boutique while he runs a marijuana farm in Oregon. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
This view was worth a hike.
Right? And it's a good way to stay on top of my health.
Yes. On Cologuard, a prescription colon cancer screening option for people 45 plus at average risk. Have you screened for colon cancer?
Not yet.
Don't wait. It's more treatable when caught in early stages.
Tell me more.
Cologuard is non-invasive and it's used at home. It detects altered DNA in your stool to find 92% of colon cancers.
92%?
Yep, even those in early stages.
This was seen in a clinical study with patients 50 and older. Any positive results should be followed by a diagnostic colonoscopy. False positive and negative results may occur. Cologuard is not a replacement for colonoscopy in high-risk patients. Do not use if you have had adenomas, have inflammatory bowel disease and certain hereditary syndromes, or a personal or family history of colon cancer.
Most insured patients pay $0. Ask your provider or an online prescriber if Cologuard is right for you, or visit Cologuard.com.
I'm in.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Basile and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to Get Big Out Loud Radio, where we explore living the complex, funny, and beautiful ride of life with me, Carrie Knutson, and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Are your thoughts keeping you small? Are you ready to get big? I will offer you ideas to transform what you are thinking into conscious action. Explore what is keeping you small and how to shift your behaviors in order to get big. Learn what is possible for you. Get ready to get big and live life out loud starting now.
Oh, boy. Hey, everybody. Welcome. Yep. Get Big Out Loud with Carrie. Carrie Knutson. This is her show, Living the Complex, Funny, and Beautiful Ride of Life on Dr. Pat. I get to sort of emcee this show and be part of it. Today, we are talking about borrowing perspective. But before we jump into that, for those of you out there, you should know a little bit about Carrie. First of all, when the pandemic hit, if you're somebody like she is, you're a professional speaker, school counselor, storyteller, mother, closet rap artist, right, a traveler, chronic extrovert. If you're her, what adjustments do you have to make when you're really looking at how to live your life? Now, here's the great news.
Dr. Bud, I'm sorry, Nurin, it's freezing. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm going to try.
Don't worry. Just keep freezing. We'll get to you. Hang on. I think I'm not freezing. Poor Carrie is freezing. Just, you know, this is the world that I'm trying to say we're living in right now. We're living in this world where there's so many unexpected things. And don't worry, Carrie.
You want me to keep trying to...
No, if you can, just stay where you are. You're doing good. You're fine. And what I want to say is, look, this is the world we've all had to adjust to. And all of you out there that are listening, you know what we're talking about. And so the good news about Carrie is that she was able to get through it all because she is an expert in the field of emotional intelligence. And now what is happening, we're getting back. We're going back. We're doing something different. We're getting back to school. We're getting back to stuff. But what does that mean when we get back to it? When you get back to things like that, you get back to the unexpected. And today we're doing borrowing perspective because here we are with Carrie back to her life, back to the things that we all were doing like 20 months ago. We're trying to get back to them. But let's talk about borrowing perspective. It's the idea of seeing another perspective versus borrowing a perspective. We're going to find out what this means. And how do you see other people's perspectives? I'll tell you, through the Olympics, this I was so sad that the Olympics were over. Carrie, it's great to have you here. I was so sad the Olympics were over last night. And the reason I was so sad is because I think what the announcers were saying, and clearly NBC carried the Olympics, and so did the BBC, which is the Canadian, I guess, network, which we get to watch. But there were a lot of channels carrying it, and there were a lot of ways to see these athletes, and there were a lot of backstories. There were a lot of things that people had to change just to make it. And most people were shocked by some of the things that happened. But I thought, let's look at it from their perspective. You know, let's take a look at what it's like to be an Olympic athlete. And I can only talk for the United States, not for other countries. They did it very differently than we did. But what happens when we can make a shift? Tell me about borrowing perspective. Great to have you here. Like your new background. Yay.
Thank you very much. This is my other office, but it's my first time using it. You're right. We're getting back into the swing of things. Brian Kahn, I'm from my office where I do therapy. And so, thank you for the introduction, Pat, and thank you for this idea of borrowing perspective. And I think you bringing up the Olympics is a great topic to think about. Do you see how many perspectives of, like, the journey of an athlete, you know, when they do those behind-the-scenes things, so, like, the performance you're seeing at the moment versus all the work, or even what the sport is? Like, my perspective there, I saw something on people who do shooting, I don't know what it's called, but you stand up, And the outfits that they wear are custom made for them. And listening to that backstory, if you will, it was such an interesting perspective on this sport. I might have just been like, oh, you're shooting at a target. Like, it's very easy for us to simplify anything we want that we don't understand, right? I noticed that in myself. But knowing the backstory gave me some interesting perspective, not only to understand it, but to respect it, you know, more too. So I think the Olympics is a great example of getting perspective in a global way on many people's lives and interests. Today, what I want to talk about borrowing perspective is the idea of seeing perspective, which we do a lot of times through, like, movies, stories, books. We oftentimes get a glimpse of seeing another person's perspective, but borrowing a perspective is how we might apply it to ourselves. And that's what I want to dive deep in today. How do we maybe, instead of just seeing another perspective, how could we use the idea of borrowing it to really change some of our own thought patterns and then some of our behaviors in ways that might be useful to us, in ways we might be stuck?
You know, it doesn't hurt that you have somebody like, if I could, someone like Taylor Swift, who did a tribute video. I don't know if Jamie can get her hands on that, but, you know, a tribute video to Simone Biles. And what they were doing is, here's what they praised about this. They praised the gymnast for her emotional intelligence and resilience. I'm not making that up. That's a quote. That is a direct quote. And when you see this video and you see how touching it was, and you hear Taylor Swift say, I cried watching you, right? You hear her say, I cried watching you. I feel so lucky, you know? And then when you read this and you really stop for a minute and say, I feel so lucky to have gotten to watch you all these years, but this week was a lesson in emotional intelligence and resilience. Now, that's from Taylor Swift. We all learn from you. Thank you. And so now let's talk about the perspective on that and how that is borrowing perspectives. I mean, think about it. Think about somebody like, I don't know, like pop star person having an emotional intelligence experience. And you teach this every day, right?
Right. Well, I think what's interesting about when we feel something, so like you look at someone doing something, like what Taylor Swift looked at. Right, and she said, oh, I'm having this experience of watching Simone Biles and soliciting an emotion in me. It's touching something in, right? It's relatable. And maybe you can't even articulate it so much of the exact feeling, but maybe the experience of being judged on a worldwide scale, of the immense pressure, right, of the resiliency to keep going, to stand in your truth, to have courage, whatever those big feelings are. Usually when we see someone doing something like that, it triggers something in us. It's either an experience that we have, usually it's something that we've had that's what resonates so strongly. Even if it's not experience, it's the feelings we have because of the experience that we share with that person. That's why someone who's meant to tell a story has a the story itself is different. But someone says, oh, the same thing happened to me. And it's almost like, no, not the same thing happened. The same feelings happened. The same feelings happened to you. And that's how we really register each other with each other, because we felt so lost, the pain, the struggle. So when she's connected, when Joseph's connecting in that way enough to get elicited an emotional response, it's because she's so connected to the feeling of that moment. And seeing someone else do that, it's almost like you can watch someone else easier than you can observe yourself, right? You can see someone else. That's why when we have heroes or people we admire, it's easier to see the qualities in other people that we like and admire, or things that we actually have in ourselves, but can other people, it's easier to say, oh, look at them. And either like, I want to be like them, right? Or, oh, I have those attributes in me, so I feel connected to them, right? So her response is very understandable given the situation.
I love it. I want to ask you this about, from your perspective, and I know you've got a story to share. I want to hear it. But you have ways of looking at perspective. What are some of the questions we would ask ourselves, you know, if we were in a situation or if we were watching a situation? What would we ask ourselves? And, you know, you don't have to be Taylor Swift and Simone Biles to go through borrowing perspective, do you?
No, not at all. And the only thing with borrowing perspective that I think is different than seeing and acknowledging the perspective is the idea of borrowing a perspective is you trying it on for size, right? And sometimes I feel like we as people have a very limited view of options sometimes because we're in our own world, right? And it's hard because we're on autopilot quite a bit of our time, thinking the same thoughts, having the same responses, focusing on the same things. Heck, we even drive on the same roads and eat the same foods and do the same routines, right? We're kind of habitually on autopilot most of the time. So the idea of borrowing a perspective is an opportunity to raise your consciousness, not to say, oh, I see what that person has gone through and I have feelings for it, but it's like, wow, could understanding their perspective actually help me if I applied it? So it's not like just seeing it and saying, oh, I get that. It's borrowing it. What would happen if I thought in a different way in this moment? That's what borrowing it is. So if I look at someone and I see their actions and I think maybe they're in a struggle, right, and they respond a certain way and I'm having a struggle and my habitual ways are not serving me. Maybe I look to other people I admire or see what they're doing and then I try it on for size. Like I borrow the perspective. So I might ask myself, if I were thinking in a different way, how might my thought process go? If I were using a different mindset, what opportunities might be available to me? If I were to choose different words to describe my experience, what might those words look like? So borrowing it goes past the thinking to the acting, but the missing link between those two things is your conscious mind, right? And you don't have to keep, that's what I call borrow it. You don't have to keep it, right? Sometimes it's good just to play with it. Because, I mean, Dr. Pat, have you ever been, like, in a situation and you see it from one way and another person sees it from another and you're like, how could you possibly think that? Have you ever had something where you're like,
I could tell you exactly the conversation I was into a little bit over the weekend. And I said, we were watching the Olympics, and I want to just give a shout-out to every one of the athletes that performed, regardless of what country, because we saw phenomenal things this year. But what I loved about it was we were touched by, and my friend's brother was so attached to the Olympics, and I thought, my gosh, I never thought he would be that. I never thought he'd watch it. But we're so hungry for seeing togetherness. We're really hungry. And the Olympics to come out at a time like this where you see athletes come together in so many ways. You know, you see athletes hugging other athletes from other teams. Mm-hmm. You know, all of a sudden it's not U.S. against the world, or it's not Jamaica. I have to bring up my Jamaican friends. But it's not that. You know, it's not all Simone Biles. It's take Simone Biles and put her on the sides and look at her in the leadership role And, you know, let's talk about that for perspective. You know, some people look at her and some of the comments that have been made were just horrible. But when you hear the other gymnasts speak, they say they could have never won the medals they won had she not been on the sidelines, had she not been cheering them and coaching them. Mm-hmm. You know, and that comes from every single other one of those athletes. Now, let's talk about that from your perspective. But let's talk about for a minute what it would be like to have the perspective of you being an alternate. Now, this is the person they're not talking. Nobody's talking about her, this gymnast. Here she was, an alternate, not expected. They even had her in a different color outfit. I still don't understand why that is. Like, that's got to be a rule where everybody else has the outfit and then she's got red or something. I don't know. You know, but she wins gold in the all-around, an alternate. Mm-hmm. So what is the perspective we hold? Is this perspective all about Simone Biles, or is it about having other people shine? So how do we look at our life differently, and how has this shown up for you, Carrie, in your life?
Well, I think the example is so perfect about if you tell one side of a story, you can have one perspective. I dropped out, and that's it, and now I'm taking flack for that. Right? Or the other side of the story is I dropped out to take care of myself, and in that I've made room for other people that might not have it. And then this other gymnast rose to the occasion, right, in a way that blew everyone away. And I think it's interesting, the same story can have so many perspectives. And lots of times we choose to look at the perspective that is easiest for us to understand, not the one that is most helpful, but the easiest. And when I say easiest is, again, kind of our autopilot response. Like if I understand something in a certain way, like the story that you're saying, if I'm just looking for the negative and see someone gave up, see there's a quitter and blah, 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 like it's easy for me to kind of go down that road if my mindset is kind of fixed on you should win at all costs, nothing matters more than winning, including your mental health, right? So that's a story, right? And that's a, you could go down that road, and you could also make up kind of your value system. If you were in that situation, what would you have done? Well, I would have done this, right? Which we really don't know until we're in the moment, but we like to make it up. So if you're in a certain mindset, your belief system can kind of take you around that way. You might not even be able to see the other side of the story where, like, this created an opportunity, one, to bring up mental health awareness, to show courage, and to give someone else a shot who took it, right, and to make space for others. So however you want to look at the story, to me it's all a story. It's all a story. And the truth versus our truth are two different things that you have to remember in any situation. And that's why perspective can be so valuable. Not only, usually how we say, you know, see the world from someone else's perspective. It helps us understand something, right? And here's just a little bit that made me, I just thought of recently. When I went to international school in Norway, the cafeteria was the most interesting place where I learned about people from all over the world. There were people from 100 different countries in the summer school. And at lunch, the most important parts of people's culture were missing. So for some people, soup was their, they have soup like two or three times a day. Other people have rice with every meal. Other people don't use bread in ever, really. Right? And so we were laughing about how our perspective on lunch or food, right, and what we need and what's good and what's bad. And it just made me think, if I hadn't gone to international summer school and been in that moment with all those people experiencing food, it not only gave me perspective, like, oh, we all eat different foods, right? But some of them, there was a, you know, like, we need soup. Right? There was almost a soup revolution because of how it felt to them and how important it was. And the funny thing is, I could see the perspective, but after spending time with them and seeing, like, not only culturally, but how it gives you comfort, right? And how it's something that's known and how it's part of bringing you together, that little, not only the perspective, but saying, oh, man, this is important to somebody, right? Even if it's not important to me. And I just think that little, I learned more at summer school in the cafeteria than I think I did at summer school, right?
Yeah. We were talking about this over the weekend, and let's keep rolling on this because I got some blood work done, right? And, you know, there's one way for me to look at my blood work, another way my doctor looks at it, and other ways other people look at things. Something as simple as blood work, which is so black and white. I mean, it's like ink on a paper. it's like right on the paper. It like, okay, it says, let us measure this. This is the range. This is what you get. It's so interesting, isn't it? And then when we're looking at it, right, we take a look and we can't realize in that moment that everybody's got a different perspective on it, right? Mm-hmm. I may look at it and say, wow, that's really interesting. I really got to work on this over here. Somebody else may look at it and say, you're making too much of a big deal about it. And somebody else on the other side may say, oopsie, maybe you should call like five specialists. So everybody's got a different opinion. But let's talk about what happens when we're all together. You know, I know that you are talking about, you and I both went through the perspective of air flight. And being on a trip and being on the last leg of a plane trip, right? Mm-hmm. And there's different perspectives, right, when we hear the news. I just went through this in canceling my trip to go back. But we look at things really differently. And I would love for you to share that story because it's so typical and atypical. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's typical and atypical.
Yes, and the reason I want to share this is because I think we can all relate in the way it's so typical. We were coming back, Michaela and I were coming back from vacation in Hawaii, and we live in Colorado, and we were flying back, and it was the last leg of kind of our all-day trip. We were in Los Angeles waiting for our flight, and it kept getting delayed, 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 and then around 10, it was canceled. And then started the whole process of, you know, when are we going to get booked? And so the gate agent says, you'll be rebooked at, for 7 in the morning, but you have to go get your bags at 2:30 and recheck them and get reticketed at 3:30. And so I'm, like, in this process of, like, oh, my God, this is we're sleeping at the airport, and this is going to be a long night. And I'm just kind of in the middle of my, like the resignation that you know you all feel, especially on the way home.
Oh, I'm feeling you now.
Yeah, and you're just like, and then this is not just me, it's my family. We had this great trip. It was our first time in Hawaii, and I felt like all my expectations of the trip were wrapped up in us getting home and everyone having a good memory. And so I felt, you know, all that kind of came down, and it's late, and I got two young kids, and we're all cranky and tired. And so I'm in the middle of that, understanding that we're going to be sleeping at the airport. And my 12-year-old looks at me and she says, wait a minute, we get to sleep at the airport? I'm like, yes, honey. And she's like, sleep at the airport? And she, I'm like, yes. And she goes, oh, my God, it'll be an airport adventure. I'm like, what do you mean by adventure? She goes, nobody in the world will be awake but us, just us in an airport. I've never slept in an airport. It'll be my first time. And we'll find our bags, and it'll be magical. She just, like, had this whole, and I was like, oh, my gosh. And I, at the moment, I'm like, okay, lady, I'm happy you're excited, but I wasn't there yet. And I was like, what seems like excitement to you is, like, a very long night of boot jumping for me. That's what. And so the funny thing, though, as the night went on, she was like, well, wake up, I'll go with you. You know, she was all excited. And when we did wake up at 2:30, her and I woke up, and my husband and my other daughter were sleeping. Annie is her name. Annie made, we, like, held hands, and we walked through the terminal, and we listened to our voices echoing, and we made up stories about what our bags would say if the bags could talk, right, if they'd missed us or if they'd be angry. And then we made, but we said, we don't go to Denver, we'll go to this place. And then there'd be a sign, and we'd laugh, what's it like in San Diego, or what's it like, you know, in New York? And I started to have fun because I was trying on her perspective, right? Like, this is a fun thing. This is a new thing. And I let her excitement, I just put that little window of opportunity. What if I started to use her perspective, right? And then also, what if I could feel some gratitude for this really special time with her? You know, and I think what happened was she gave me, when she said, it's a night at the airport, it'll be so exciting. That was to see a perspective, but to borrow it was like, could this be fun? Could this be exciting? Could I have some fresh eyes on this? Could I lose my, like, oh, sleeping at the airport attitude to, like, oh, experience with my daughter, right? Like, could I switch it? And it really shifted the entire experience for me when I borrowed her, so she has this outlook. I'm like, I'm going to borrow it for a little bit and see if it can't work on me, right? And it turned out to be, you know, just one of the stories we tell about our trip. It did not diminish the trip one bit. And in fact, there's a story we'll tell now.
I love this. You know, here's one of, let's start, we have a few more minutes before we go to break. perspective is so important, and being able to borrow perspective is, I think, one of the most incredible gifts we have. Two things happened over the weekend. Well, more than two, but two interesting things. The IP, for me, the IPCC's climate change report came out. And, you know, I read the climate change report because we're in the Pacific Northwest. And I have to tell you that I do not think that the Pacific Northwest can handle another summer like this without everybody here getting air conditioning. You know, we are the place where people and hotels do not have air conditioning. I don't know if you knew that. That's us. Yeah, we just don't. I mean, because why? Because, so it gets to 80. So what? But it's 80 dry, not humid. And at night, it goes from 80 to 60-something. And we went through about this summer where, holy cow, 110. It was my thermometer. I took pictures of my thermometer on my phone where I got this outside dealy majiggy, right? You stick it in the ground and it does it. And I took the picture and everybody says, oh, it's broken. And then I took a picture 2 hours later where it started to back off and registered the temperature as it got cooler. And I read the IPCC's climate change report, and my friends say to me sometimes, really? It's called Code Red for Humanity? I said, no, that's what the report's called. Mm-hmm. And I said, just read it because it's talking about the reality of things. And so there are a couple of different perspectives we can have on it. We can just look at it and just say, you know what, it's out of my hands. Somebody bigger and higher than me certainly has got to take that on. If you're Bernie Sanders, you just live and breathe the whole thing. I mean, you're going to take it on, and it's just him. And if you're my governor, Governor Jay Inslee, the man lives and breathes this and realizes very limited things he can do right now. But in a perspective, we have made a great shift in perspective in a matter of 3 weeks. Okay, I'll say four. Do you think the impact of that is?
Well, what makes me think when you're speaking about we have got a very different understanding of perspective in just 3 weeks. So living through those 110, 115 degree temperatures, right? When you live through something, sometimes the experience gives you the perspective. The perspective doesn't give you the experience, right? And so sometimes people really buy in. Once you felt what those temperatures feel like and see how awful it is and see like the earth being scorched up and fire, like once you see it with your own eyes, sometimes then you get the perspective, right? And sometimes I feel like the Pacific Northwest has been an incredible example of what climate change looks like and how it's impacted people this summer in ways they've never felt before, right? So it kind of begs the question of, so now that this has happened, do you take the perspective of, I'm just one person, I can't do anything? Do you take the perspective of, I have to do everything I can? Do you take the perspective of, I'm so overwhelmed and scared, I don't know what to do? Like, what's your place now, right? And how do you get a perspective? And in my mind, what I'd say, too, is this is really scary to me. And when you've had an experience that is frightening, like the temperatures you've experienced and the fires, you get triggered, right? So usually when we get scared, we tend to go to getting smaller. Like, what can I do? I can't do anything, or I'll protect myself. Instead of the idea of what perspective, how can I connect with others? How can I make a difference? How can I take action so I feel like I'm involved? It's a very push-pull kind of human dynamic that if you become conscious of that, you see it happening, right? Am I getting smaller or bigger? Am I letting my fear keep me small? Do I need some other perspectives to help me get through this, right? Not necessarily get out of it, but get moved through it. So that's another way I think perspective works. Sometimes experience gives us perspective.
Let's just talk about this one last thing before you go to break, and then I want to talk to you about it. What do we do to help ourselves change perspective? That's the question when we come back. So for me, okay, true confessions. Benny, I don't know if you've seen this yet. So me, I don't really understand why HBO Max did not charge for Suicide Squad 2. I just don't, I mean, thank you, whoever you are over there for that. And I feel really bad. I mean, I'm looking at Margot Robbie and I'm saying, I feel really bad. Just want to say that, what did you earn, like $30 million at the box office? Well, there's a reason for that. The perspective shifted from this 6 weeks to a month ago to this 4 weeks ago to now a new perspective emerging that would cause a movie like Black Widow low on the box office overall, but broke through all pandemic box offices. And then Suicide Squad, nobody's going. What are we shifting our perspective about? How are we looking at the world right now? What are we seeing? But more importantly, what do we do to help ourselves shift perspective? Do you use a tool like I have called BrainTap, or do you meditate, or do you simply just do it? Carrie Knutson will tell you, you can just do it. You really can just do it. When we come back, we're going to challenge each and every one of us to just do it. I'm still trying to wrap my mind around Jodie Comer playing in a movie with Ryan Reynolds, a comedy, and this is the main character of Killing Eve. I just can't see her other than in that role. I must have to shift my perspective. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back.
To The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Welcome to Soul Activation Podcast, a world-class broadcast of insight and inspiration with the renowned healer and coach, Suzanne Alexandria. In this series, she dives deep into the magical sea of you, to the place in you that's ready to activate. Tune in live every second and fourth Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
In a roundabout of dysfunction, stop circling around difficult issues and find out what's been holding you back. Learn how to speak your truth to power with host Dr. Kathy Ober. Create real change with smart tools and smart strategies. No frills, no fluff, just life-changing conversations to help get you where you want to be. Extend your reach and become an agent for real change with Kathy Ober. For more information on Kathy and her work, please visit drkathyober.com. That's drkathyober.com.
Tune in to the show Heart Change Consciousness with me, Dr. Trish DeRocher, as stories of inspired activism come to life. Listening to conversations with your favorite authors, change makers, and many more who practice inspired spiritual activism and transform vulnerabilities into sources of strength. Let's be inspired together through my show, Heart Change Consciousness, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hi, I'm Patricia McMahon, host of Divine Guidance with Patricia. And I'm here to help you live a more authentic, spiritually connected life. Join me every first and third Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Being who you are in everyday life is the key to unlocking soul wisdom within that our whole self already knows. Get ready to embrace your spiritual, mental, and emotional well-being, your whole being. Discover your gifts and strengthen your connection to spirit. We will explore Earth's guidance, divine truth and love, past life lessons, and so much more. So listen in to Divine Guidance with Patricia and join in your personal adventure to triggering, opening, validating, and being all that you are. For more information about me, visit divineguidance.earth.
Welcome back, everybody. Carrie Knutson, and this show is Get Big Out Loud with Carrie, living the complex, funny, and beautiful right of life. Are you ready to borrow a perspective?
Are you ready to do that? We're going to talk about what that means and how you do it right now. And boy, I'll tell you, stories really are the gateway to enabling us to look at perspective and then consider something different, maybe a different possibility, maybe a different expectation. You know, maybe changing the way we look at things. Kerry, before we go ahead, I know people are looking at you in a different setting, but that doesn't mean you're still not Kerry Knutson, professional speaker, storyteller, coach, all of the above, right? How do people find out about you?
Right now, today I'm Kerry Knutson therapist, right? In my school office, you can see me in a new place. Yes, you can find out about me at knutsonspeaks.com, K-N-U-T-S-O-N, speaks.com. And what I love about actually doing this from my office where I do therapy is really, it's another part of me, right? I have a lot of things that I do. So I coach, I do public speaking all around the country, virtually and in person. And I also do therapy. And I love that I'm in it, right? And then I use what I'm doing to apply it to the things I talk about. So when I talk about emotional intelligence, it's that I'm studying it every day. And in it with clients and in my school that I'm at. So I feel really lucky that I can share this space with you today and another part of who I am.
So perspective. Let's just have a sense of what a perspective is. We didn't talk about that yet. And we're kind of telling stories about it. But let's tell folks what perspective means, because I think when we start to look at perspective, right, and I think Jessica has a show, her show name is on that. When you have a perspective, right, it's a particular attitude towards a way of regarding something. And let's just say a point of view. You got a point of view about something, right? And so there's a point of view. It could be a point of view about everything from the top political climate control. It could be a point of view, I don't like eggs. No, I love eggs, so it's not me. But I can't eat sauerkraut. Or, you know, it could be the simple perspective, right? It's like I have to have an orange car. I live in the Pacific Northwest. I don't want a gray car. So there is a perspective. But there are times when we have a perspective and we reconsider.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're talking about now.
Yes. So two things I want to bring up with that. To me, perspective also comes from the lens through which you see the world based on so many things. Where you were brought up, your life experiences, the people that you know, the values you have, right? So your perspective is connected to value systems and experiences, right? So when we look at people, we think, oh, your perspective, you might look at someone on their face and you might say, okay, I see Kerry, she is a middle-aged Caucasian woman who appears able-bodied and she's brought up her husband, so it seems like she's married, so she's heterosexual. So you might make up some stories, and my perspective on the world is heavily influenced. Those things are true. But what you won't see from me also, like my perspective is built on a lot of things that you don't see about me, right, because I can't advertise it. Perspective on being the daughter of a gay man. Right, and growing up with someone who had to be in the closet, he came out when I was 8, seeing him struggle, seeing him not have a family. So, but my perspective is heavily influenced by that experience, right? I have a sister who's adopted. Seeing her go through life, my perspective is heavily influenced by observing her experiences. I'm married to a man with one arm. Seeing him go through the world, he does not think he has a disability because he was born that way. He's full and complete, right? But how other people label him is a perspective I cannot help but have, right? Because I'm in it. And so I think when we're talking about how do we get perspective and what is perspective, it's not just some random, like, here's perspective, like a jewel untouched, right? Perspective is in us from our experiences and the people that we know, not on us, like by what we show the world, yeah. Right? So the perspective we get is from inside. And the stories we collect, the people we meet, the experiences we have, the values. So that's not always easy to tease out. Why do you feel, like you and I could probably have a list of topics and some we would be so agree on and others we might be like, how can you think that, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, let's just drill on one. I want to just follow up to one you said. It's one that's really getting a little bit of press right now. It's actually getting a lot of press. When the United States lost to Canada in the soccer
what could have sent the United States on to the gold medal to Canada. Canada actually won the gold at the Olympics, but what was tainted in the eyes of press that was issued in a lot of countries, and I'm not saying the United States, and I'm certainly not saying Canada, was the fact that that woman that shot, when they, and let me use some non-binary language, when they kicked that penalty, you looked at that as a great shot. But once it was done, you looked at them and said, they are transgender. And that became the news. Now, in some countries, it did not become the news. And certainly the United States soccer team was not part of that conversation. But here's the thing. In a country like, okay, is it Russia? Do we call them Russia? I think the headline said that the IOC that's the Olympic Committee, is going to investigate the anti-LGBT slurs against Olympic athletes on Russian TV. What? So here we have an interesting scenario. And it's not just that they had, this is not Olympic slurs. This was outright, absolutely, value-defining language to call gay athletes just perverts and abominations. I mean, so what do you do? So here's a couple of perspectives here. Mm-hmm. And this right here is one of the more dividing conversations that we're not having. That and comments about our African-American athletes in the Olympics. So here we are, and people have perspectives. Does everybody have the right to an opinion? See, this is where we get hung up.
Mm-hmm.
How do we borrow perspective? How do we help these folks, right? How do we help people understand a different perspective? Or maybe that's not our job. Help me out here. Because, look, you live in the world where you're dealing with perspective 24/7. I need some insight.
Well, I think you raised the biggest point. Like, can I have an opinion, right? And I'm entitled to that. And then when it influences others in a negative way, right, when it brings people, when it judges, when it limits, when it classifies and makes someone the other, like when does that opinion then become dehumanizing for someone else, right? So then that's when you have to ask yourself a value system. But that's also, I think we have to speak out to educate. There are some things, truth and facts are different. There are some things that I think we can agree are facts. Like when we say that defining some, using words to talk about someone's sexuality, right, or gender identity, right, or race, is when we think in our culture, like we're having conversations about all these kinds of things, what's appropriate, what's not, what makes people feel included versus excluded, who's losing power in the conversation and trying to hold on to it, what's right, what's the right way to be, according to what, religion, political views, humanity, and what keeps showing up again and again just because of who we are, like what's, right, truth and fact, opinion versus outcome of your opinion. Do I get to hurt you because of my opinion? Do I get to limit you? And so some of those things you really have to struggle with. And I think perspective is interesting in this case because in order to learn about anything, we have to have some perspective, right?
Yeah.
I don't think people grow up and are born like, I'm going to be mean or awful or racist or sexist or homophobic, right? I think some of those behaviors get learned and then supported by institutions, right? That say, now you will believe this way, right? And value systems and humanity that want to keep power. So then we have to ask ourselves, like, right? Sometimes I think, like, until I, this is a kind of a small example, but before I was involved in the deaf and hard of hearing community, which I am, I went to Gallaudet and I learned sign language, I didn't know why hearing impaired would be bad. Like, why is hearing impaired a bad word? Well, deaf people then say, thanks for asking, right? It's because we'd rather be called deaf and hard of hearing. Hearing impairment came as a hearing term to describe us, but we don't think we're impaired, right? We are, because we don't have the same things as you, but learning from other people and saying, oh, that's how you feel? That's your perspective? That's why that label doesn't fit you? Right? Like, I think the idea of learning from other people about their experience and thinking about how my words and my perspective sometimes have no business, right? Like,
We do so much talking that sometimes we don't listen.
Yeah.
And also we do so much controlling that sometimes we're like, well, what if I gave up some control? What if I didn't know everything? What if I let someone take some space to share their experience, like to learn from it?
Yeah.
So I hope I'm addressing some of what you're saying.
No, I think you are. I was sharing a story with Dr. Lisa the other day, and I was talking to her at being part of a team of people. Right, and we have to share something unique. Don't you always love that one when consultants come in or people, team facilitators come in, they say, I did it to my team, by the way, so I'm looking back and I'm saying, I'm so sorry now, I'm guilty. But, you know, they come in and they say, what do you have that's unique? And what I shared, I thought was totally benign. And I shared the fact that, well, you know what I thought? I said, look, later on in my life, because of the internet and I guess, thank you to Ancestry.com, my family's records started to show up. One, I didn't know my grandfather had a brother. Two, I didn't know the relationship of Brazil to my family. And so I have a friend that's a genealogy person, genealogist. And so she's looking at this on my mom's side, and we find out my grandfather was born in Brazil. Not just dropped by, but born in Brazil. And then, you know, tracing the rest of the people born in Brazil on that side of my family. And I shared that. You know, what's really interesting about that for me, and I cut it off, was the perspective of who I was to them changed. I was no longer this white woman that had a leadership role in broadcasting and media. I was now this person. I mean, honestly, the whole conversation changed. It was like, oh, so are you going to learn Spanish? And I'm like, no, that would be my godchild from the Dominican Republic. She wants me to learn. I said, that is not the language in Brazil. The whole conversation went, well, do you classify yourself now as Latino? And I thought to myself, I got to look at this perspective. And I have to tell you, I don't even know what that is, Gary.
Well, it's funny because when you're talking, it's almost like the perspective is being put on you by like, this is your ancestry, so then should you have this perspective, right?
Oh, my gosh. One of the people was like, well, of course you're Latina. Of course you have to start talking about that because she was. And I said, you know, I'm going to think about all this because this is a new perspective. So which one do I borrow? Or do I borrow a little bit from all? Help us with this. When we get bombarded with other people's perspective about us, what do we do? Because so much of that has gone on in the past 20 months over Zoom, right? You know, you're doing a Zoom meeting and all of a sudden your child walks in. And you're trying to do, you're on a board meeting and your child walks in. And, you know, daddy, mom, mommy, you know, and it's a whole different perspective. We need to help people right now. Give us some insight from your perspective.
Well, I thank you for the opportunity to give my perspective, which is one of the many voices out there, right? When you talk, one thing that comes up for me a lot is I don't think this is, like, easy as saying, oh, I'm just going to get some perspective. Or, like, oh, now you're Brazilian, so you should adopt that. Or, oh, it's easy for me to learn about, like, if you don't know anything about what it means to be transgender, it's hard for you to be like, oh, okay, I get it. Like, I even remember for me talking to my dad's mom, my grandma, when he came out, and he's like, she wasn't studying with patients, I just don't understand it. It was just so far out of her experience because it just wasn't an option, right? She's like, that's not even an option. How can this be happening? And I think sometimes in life we're like, oh, you have an experience I don't understand. It's not easy for us to be like, okay, let me sit with my discomfort. Let me sit with my not knowing. Because a lot of times, you know, when we reach a certain age and stage, we better know. We're used to knowing things. We're smart, right? We can look things on the internet. And we also want to be competent. And we don't want to look stupid. A friend of mine said something. I really love this. She said, like, becoming aware and really getting perspective is sometimes, like, you know, when you have something in your teeth, it's so embarrassing. But somebody has to have the courage to tell you, hey, you've got some spinach in your teeth, right? So you don't go around the whole day with spinach in your teeth, right? And you're embarrassed in the moment, but then you're simultaneously grateful for the person who told you, right? Have you ever had that? They're like devastatingly embarrassed and then super grateful
but maybe only one or two people know that you had spinach in your teeth.
And then you're like, okay, did I get it? Did I get it? Right?
Did
that's
I get
like
it?
One person, and you're
right.
Like hovered in a corner, right? And you're like, did I get it? Did I get right?
We're all walking around with spinach in our teeth about different things, but we have no idea, right? And then we're living in a global world where we need to get perspective all the time, but it's not pretty.
Yeah.
It doesn't always look like, oh, I wanted to get that perspective. Like, I wanted to learn that lesson today. It takes us out of our comfort zones. It shakes us up. And that part of that has, when you are a person who has some resiliency, but I feel like how we evolve is I don't have to always be right. I don't always have to know the answers. I can have enough space in my life for me to be living what I believe is true, and you can too. And you don't have to look or act like me for it to work. I think that's the evolution of humanity is I can hold space for so many different people to be who they are. And again, with the caveat of when you oppress another group, when you are hurtful, when you limit their expression of their freedom, when you define people by how they were born, by characteristics like gender identity, sexuality, color of skin, race, things that people like just show up, right? That to me is the line that we cross when we need education around why we don't do that, right? And how limiting people is really limiting us as humanity, because I think people grow to their greatest freedom no matter what. They have gone through great odds in life to express themselves. People grow towards freedom, right? And so your freedom doesn't look like mine for us to live in the same space. And that's why I think perspective can be so helpful, but it's not always fun or easy or not embarrassing. Like, I want to tell you a quick story if we have time.
Yeah, about, please, go ahead.
About
go
a hard perspective.
Yeah.
So I worked, this was about hard perspective, right? Like learning something like a really hard way. So I worked as a counselor in a detox facility for people who were recovering from drugs and alcohol. And the way the shifts worked, for a few weeks you'd be on intake at night where people would come in and you'd intake them, get them a bed, and kind of help them through the process of getting sober for a few days. Then moving on to another program. But at the facility, we also had a 30-day inpatient treatment program. And so sometimes as a therapist, you'd work on the intake, and sometimes you'd work for 30 straight days with the same group of people. So you were in that group. So I was on a 30-day rotation, and I met these amazing people. And on the 30-day rotation, you're with them every day for group, for support. You hear every story. You're running every group. It's very intense, 30 days, right? They're living there. It's very committed, focused. And I had made this connection to this man, Jeremy. And I just saw this progress over 30 days. I heard his stories. I heard his life. And I heard everything about it. I'm in case someone's like, who's Jeremy? I'm making this name up. Okay, everybody, so don't look for Jeremy. but so I had this connection with him, right? And the 30 days, every day that progressed, it was more and more like, oh, my gosh, he's going to make it. He's going to get sober. He's going to change his life. He has so much to give. I see him as he can be. And I'm, like, all invested in his success. I am so excited. Graduation day comes. Jeremy graduates from our program. I feel my own sense of worthiness and satisfaction, and I'm so proud of him, and I'm excited for the future holds. Like, it's all good, right?
Yeah.
So the very next night, I'm back on intake. I'm back on the intake, and my shift starts around midnight. And I get ready for my shift, which essentially means waiting for the police to drop somebody off who is intoxicated. And I can't believe my eyes because the first person I see is Jeremy.
Yeah.
Jeremy is getting dropped off at detox.
Yep.
And I can't handle it because I'm like, no, my whole worldview is like, no, this can't happen, right?
Yep.
So I called my supervisor, her name, from Marilyn, and I'm like, Marilyn, Jeremy's back. And Marilyn's like, yes. I'm like, I can't believe it. And I'm fairly dramatic myself, but I'm like, he worked so hard. He knew what to do. He had his chance. And she's like, Carrie, what does Jeremy need? I'm like, I don't know. I tried and I thought and blah, 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 me, right? And then she's like, Carrie, what does Jeremy need? I'm like, I just don't know. And I'm still in my world. And she's like, Carrie, Jeremy needs an intake counselor. That's what Jeremy needs. Can you go be his intake counselor?
That's right. Wow.
He just like slapped me in the face with the perspective of like, what does he need versus what I want for him?
Yeah. Right? And I've used that so much in my practice as a therapist, but also in my life. So many times my perspective is on what I want for you, not what really is happening in your life. And Marilyn called it the 13th step. She's like, go back to the...
She's right.
Yeah.
She's right. For those of us that work with people in recovery, boy, this is one of those perspective-changing things you better learn and learn quick. You know, you and I spent decades in this perspective. You know, I work with women in recovery every day, and there's always one. You know, there's the one that I've been to the correction facility every week waiting to chat with her. You know, there's the one that, you know, slams into a car. And then there's the one that you try to reach out to only to find out, wait a minute, oopsie, I've done it again.
Mm-hmm.
And boy, what great advice. So, last question. Did you change the perspective and do the intake?
Well, what I did, after she told me, and she was very straightforward. She's like, yes or no. Like, don't waffle around.
Yeah.
She wasn't interested in my emotion. She
right.
wasn't interested, right? So it's funny because in that moment, she has this thing. She had up on the ceiling a boot that kind of was sticking out of the tiles, and on top it said the 13th step. You're booted back to the beginning, and I never understood it. But I looked up at that boot. And I did. I took a deep breath, and I'm like, I'm going to leave my ego here. I'll come back and process my emotions, but I want to be the kind of person in that moment, and that's why it was such a big moment for me. I took a moment, and I reset, and I'm like, I'm going to go be what he needs.
Yeah.
Right now. I am, because I can, right? And it was such a pivotal moment for me, because the perspective of what other people need versus what I need, I was a really young counselor at that point, like, my first gig as a therapist, and I'm like, it really influenced how I serve.
Yeah.
So the lesson in perspective, again, I didn't enjoy that, right? And the personal pain I felt had to be taken in. But I think when you get into a place where you can look at the world and take on other people's perspective and serve from that perspective, that's where you have real power. And that's where there's amazing chance for growth, opportunity, and all the things we want. But I think that's the turning point.
That's the sweet spot of perspective. And
yeah.
Thank you for driving that home at the end of the hour, because that is the one. You know, that is the thing. When we do our next show, it would be so fun to have a story-changing event. And I mean, how do you literally change up a story, not a teeny bit, but I'm talking about a full-on epic perspective change. Change your story in the minute. We're going to maybe think about doing it, Jerry. Maybe we should think about doing it and show some demonstrations.
Sure.
Like, are you going to be the headlines from NPR that says barely beat out China for the gold medal number? Or are you going to say, wow, what an effort, ladies, in the final minutes to really bring that extra gold home?
Mm-hmm.
Feel the difference in energy?
Yes.
Are you going to pay your debt back or worry about it, or are you going to earn more money you can imagine that you pay somebody else's debt?
You have been listening to Get Big Out Loud Radio, where we explore the complex, funny, and beautiful ride of life with me, Carrie Knutson, joining Dr. Pat live every second Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. I will help you to know which thoughts are keeping you small in order for you to get big. Get big and live your life out loud. For more information, visit KnutsonSpeaks.com.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KNUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Monday to you, Benny Mathers, here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around this hour over on I-5 northbound, just north of Martin Luther King Jr. Way south. Recent collision, partially blocking the right-hand of the lane. Good thing State Patrol and its response team are on route to take care of that situation. Get that taken care of. Stay tuned for another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network. And this time it's the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by and change your story. Change your life. Reframe. With special guest, Jennifer Noel Taylor.
And
NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is reportedly trying to negotiate a deal to squash the impeachment probe against him. Scott Pringle reports.
Sources are telling the city that the governor is trying to convince top state lawmakers to abandon the impeachment investigation if he agrees not to run for another term. His term expires at the end of next year. The outlet reports that lawmakers are not buying this deal. The city reports that former aide Melissa DeRosa had been seeking strategies to try and stop the impeachment investigation before she resigned Sunday night.
A hearing in Albany today could provide some clarity on what comes next in the possible impeachment. James Flippin has details.
The hearing is being held in the New York State Assembly's legislative building. Assemblyman Charles Levine saying Governor Cuomo deserves the chance to respond to allegations of sexual harassment, improper use of funds for his book, and any potential cover-up concerning nursing home deaths.
The governor's lawyers have said that he wants to be treated fairly, quote, like anyone else in this country, unquote, and he will be.
Fully vaccinated Americans can finally enter Canada starting today without the need for a mandatory 14-day quarantine. American visitors still need to meet all the requirements, including a negative COVID-19 test. The vaccine must also be approved by the Canadian government. That list includes Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson, and AstraZeneca. Norwegian Cruise Lines is being given the green light to set sail from Miami this coming weekend. Sarah Bartlett has the story.
A federal judge ruled it can require passengers to show proof of a coronavirus vaccine, despite Governor Ron DeSantis trying to stop that. This will ensure at least 95% of guests are vaccinated following health regulations. Sunday's voyage will be the company's first since the pandemic halted the cruise industry more than a year ago.
There are close to 1 million more job openings than people looking for work. The Labor Department is reporting a record 10.1 million job openings in June, up from 9.5 million in May. There are now 8.6 million people out of work in the U.S. Be listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
ADHD. It's the child who can't pay attention or sit still in school, right? The answer may be yes. Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, or ADHD, can be complicated, and it can last a lifetime. Up to 75% of children and adolescents with ADHD have at least one additional mental disorder that requires a comprehensive approach to treatment. Learn more at moretoadhd.com. This message brought to you in partnership with ADDA, ACO, and CHAD.
Let's go ahead and take a look now. Charles Turner does talk weather outlook for Monday. Well, we'll see mostly sunny skies again today. High temperatures around 74, 75 degrees. We'll have a little bit of wind out of the north to northwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. For tonight, mostly clear skies. Low temperatures dropping down to about 59 to 60. For Tuesday and the rest of the week, more sunshine expected, and those high temperatures gradually increasing. Starting around 80 on Tuesday, and in the low 90s by the end of the week. Low temperatures in the mid-60s.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show that's coming up right next.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm so thrilled about the show today with Jennifer Noel Taylor joining me here today, Chief Magical Officer of Quantum Touch, Inc. I've talked a lot about her over the years. I am so thrilled she's also back doing a show with us, a podcast. It's crazy good. But when you take a yes, meaning like here's your life, over here is yes, over here is no, and anything in the middle is still no. If it's not yes, pretty much it's pretty much no. But when you take the journey and you start to look at your life as the world of possibilities and then walk through the door, sometimes what you do is you will say yes to something you've never done before or talk about something you've never spoke about before or open up doors you never thought would even open before. And when you do that, sometimes doors close. But what if today's show, even learning from one of the most amazing people, you know, that really orchestrates the energy of leadership in the Quantum Touch organization. Now you're coming forward and you're talking about something that I love and I'm a work in progress on. I will tell you right now, reframe, change your story, change your life. That's what we're talking about. Jennifer, I'm so excited about this. I got to learn some stuff from you today.
Great. Well, thanks for having me. I love your show. I love being on the show. I love doing shows. And, I can't wait to talk about this topic because it's something that's really near and dear to my heart. And it's something that I use, and it has interesting results, amazing results, interesting results. I'd love to Dive right in.
Because I want to get at the main question here that, you know, look, when I learned this, I can't tell you when I learned it, but it's been like a work in progress on a regular basis. I think I learned this mostly when I made the decision to get clean and sober the first time. You know, when I started down that pathway, it was very different. But if somebody talked to me the way you're going to talk today, it would have made life so much dang easier. How do you change your story and why? So let's get into it. Like, how do we? But more importantly, let's get to the why part, if we could tease that a little bit. Because it does change our why.
Well, yeah, sure. So I was reflecting on this. So I was watching Tony Robbins, and Tony Robbins said, to change your life, you need to change your story, change your state, and change your strategy. And a lot of people talk about how to change your state, meaning, like, you know, if you're in a bad mood, how to get in a better mood. A lot of people talk about strategy. There's tons of stuff out there on strategy. I didn't see a lot on story, and I realized that if you're not able to change your story, you can't change your strategy or your state very well, because that's where I was getting stuck. And your story is that script that tends to run your life. It tends to make decisions for you. Sometimes we're not even aware of these scripts. Sometimes they're subconscious, they're under the surface. But it's like that idea that every business I've ever tried, I've failed. I only date unavailable men, so these unavailable men keep showing up. Or these recurring patterns in our life that no matter how we try to change our strategy, it doesn't change. And that was the question point for me, is why do people just repeat these patterns despite their best efforts? And to me, that's why we have to focus on our story.
Yeah. I want to do a true confession. I'd love for you to talk about it. And I didn't know it till I got some outside help from a woman who became my therapist during some of the toughest times of my life, like 1987 to about 1993. And she became my therapist, literally saved my life from an abusive relationship, loss of a job. I mean, there's so many things she helped me with. Making the decision to move from Jersey to Seattle, that one. But here's the perspective that changed. I was carrying something from my dad's legacy. My dad had a very important and lucrative trucking business and lost it all. So I was carrying a money story that it didn't matter what I was going to make, I was going to lose it all. And I think a lot of people carry the money story. But when you can change a perspective, and boy, I guess I came out of the gate with a hard one, huh? But once you can look at that and change in perspective, it has many different ways to alter the shape and trajectory of your life. I gave one example. But let's talk about some of the examples we go through every day and some of the things you're doing to help people change perspectives like that.
So typically what I feel like is when we want to manifest something, let's say you want a partner, you want to get out of debt, you want, you know, money saved for a down payment or whatever it is, two things happen. One is it just manifests. You set the intent and it, you know, you're running the right energy and it manifests. Or a lot of times what happens is it doesn't manifest, and then I believe what's in the way shows up instead. So if you want to manifest, let's say, a life partner, and you keep, you know, these unavailable men show up, but that's my story, you know, these unavailable men keep showing up, then the question is, you know, why? And that, to me, is you need to dig deeper into what scripts are you running. And sometimes those are hard to find. You know, in my case, when unavailable men kept showing up in my life, it was
people say, well, you must be unavailable. And I'm like, well, that's so annoying. I don't think I'm unavailable. Like, that's the most annoying thing. Like, coaches or healers would say, you're unavailable. And I'm like, I feel available, you know. Yeah, so the thing is then what's really going on under the surface that attracts the same situation over and over again. And I changed my strategy. You know, I would try to date men I wasn't attracted to or to try to change the whole strategy, and it still ended up the same result. So it seemed like no matter what I did. And money problems, I think a lot of people run into that as well, that they try to save money, they try to pay off debt, and then something happens in their life that kind of makes their efforts, you know, unworkable, and it's just these outside events, it seems like. And it's usually because I feel like you have some sort of script you're not aware of that you're running that says, like you said, you know, everything fails. And it's catching those scripts. And so that's where I like to focus. How do you catch these scripts and unravel them?
Now, let's talk about this, because you just shared a bit about your story. So I want to continue with you along that, if you don't mind. Because if we don't finish the story, then people are not going to know, like, one, we're going to go through the process you use. But you did change your story and your script because you're in a different situation now, correct?
Well, as a relationship, I'm engaged to be married. So that's a different script than a lot of the past. And so I had to go through the process of how do I change this fundamental story that I've been running. And I believe the process, you can start it with what are you triggered by? So if you're looking at your money situation or me relationship situations, I was triggered by certain actions. And these actions could even happen on a daily basis, you know, a bad date or a guy you're trying to date and he doesn't call. And it's the same feeling, you know, frustration or anger. And I had to look at the bottom of that feeling. So that's part of, I have a multi-step process to deal with, you know, what do you want to create? How do you deal with the triggers? How do you find the story underneath the triggers? So that's, I had to work with my own story there.
And, you know, one of the things today, too, we're going to go through what the process is, and we're going to talk about triggers, and we're going to talk about what you do with them. Because a lot of times when we look at processes, we don't really take people through them. You know, we get hooked up on what the trigger is, but then we don't really go to the next step, which Jennifer's going to talk about today. But also I want to let everybody know that there are free 30 consultations to people who would like to explore the reframe process. And I can't tell you how timely this is. There's so many people right now that I'm speaking with and women I work with that don't know where to start. They just know something is in the way. And the fact that you have outlined this process is exactly what people need. I can't really speak to, I coach two men. And so, you know, but I can talk to, you know, the 20 women that I coach. And I will talk to you about the fact that without this process, it's almost like this loop that you get caught in, right? Trigger, okay, back again. Trigger, okay, back again. How did you discover this process?
Well, it's been a long road. Part of it was I was generating the same reality over and over again. I was attracting, the worst thing to attract was a bunch of sexual predators. Like, so I'm not even an available man, but I kept on attracting scenarios where men would violate my boundaries in major ways. And I had to look at, you know, my own energy on that. And I guess the monster of all attractions happened, you know, one day where somebody broke into my house in the middle of the night, and that was like a sexual predator to the max.
Wow.
And so I looked at, like, why do I keep, you know, attracting the same situation over and over again? And this is where it started, because I realized that I was in a pattern that was horrible. It was a horrible pattern. And the hard part, first of all, is realizing that I was attracting this. It wasn't just random that I was responsible, so I had to take responsibility. The second thing that I realized was that what was going in my heart was that I had feelings of hurt and frustration, anger that ran so deep. I was so incredibly angry at men. And so this anger, the universe was showing me how angry I was by what was happening outside of myself, right? So this anger was attracting really negative situations. I believe that when we're super angry about something, we tend to attract really negative situations. Even if we have a happy demeanor, when we're really angry, we tend to attract really negative things. So my anger was in my heart. I wasn't even fully aware of it even, but it was just this resting in my heart, this intense, like, anger. And I decided to face it instead of just brushing it under the surface. So I was definitely triggered by all these predators and great anger, hurt, sadness, that whole trigger.
Yeah.
And so I spent 3 days, once I got to the bottom of realizing that was there, I spent 3 days fully feeling it. And this is one of the keys, because if you can fully feel your emotions as if you're spending it, so you relax into the feeling, and then you release it. So Michael Singer wrote a book, The Untethered Soul.
Oh, my gosh.
About a process called Relax and Release, right?
Yeah.
So I love that. And so it's the same thing. You, like, relax into the feeling and release it. And so when you get triggered, to fully release the emotional energy around it. And part of that, after that, is the forgiveness. So if we're not willing to forgive the whole situation, we forgive ourselves, forgive the people who, you know, quote unquote, wronged us. If you just, you know, release the emotion, but you're not willing to forgive, it just comes up again. You just keep on getting triggered, right?
Again and again and again. And again.
Right. So yes, it just keeps coming up. And so this is the hard part for a lot of people, is actually forgiveness, because you want justice. You know, I wanted justice with all these scenarios. I wanted it to be right. I wanted, you know, God to smite them. And instead of that, I thought, really, because my unwillingness to forgive, I'll just keep attracting it, because forgiveness releases the frequency of energy that attracts whatever it is you don't want.
Yeah.
So forgiveness is for us, too. It's not just, you know, for other people. It's for us. It's primarily to shed that burden in our heart. And so if you're triggered, the first thing to do is to relax into the emotion, release the feeling so you get neutral, and then do a forgiveness process on it. So be willing to forgive what's going on and release that to the universe as well. So you get neutral with that trigger. And that can take, it took me several days on this one, you know, just to get to deal with the full, you know, extent of my rage and to release it. And then I did a forgiveness process and it released the whole pattern.
Yeah.
And then I stopped attracting it.
Yeah, almost immediately, I bet. I love talking about this. We're going to take a short break and continue this to talk about what does it mean when you can really touch on this process and really watch yourself go through it, just like Jennifer just described. And you watch yourself go through it, and you see these nuances of things that shift, or you feel them, right? Or you just know them. And you get to that one that we're talking about where you relax into the feeling and release it. And this is one of the things we'll talk about. I love Untethered Soul. I like that. The book is incredible. But what do we learn from the art of forgiveness? What do we learn that it is, and what do we learn that it isn't? Because I love what you said. You know, this is a process you go through for you. People think you go through it for the other person, and by the way, they never even know that you're doing it. It's just like it's not even on their radar. That doesn't mean you condone the act. When we come back, we're going to talk about these free 30 consultations that Jennifer is offering, how you can plug into them, and then we'll talk about, can you even identify the trigger? What does a trigger feel like for you? It can come up in the grocery store. It could come up driving a car. It could come up watching a movie. It doesn't matter. It could come back up watching the Olympics. It doesn't matter. You can't predict when that is going to come up. But when it does, what do you do to identify it, and how do you move to the next step? Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back.
Life can be demanding, but sometimes our wheels are spinning and we're too focused on making them turn to notice we're stuck in the mud. Tune into The Pause with me, Ellen Wyoming Deloy, every second and fourth Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Learn how to stop, reflect, and start moving forward with intention. And if you're really looking to jumpstart your personal development, schedule a free coaching consultation with me at ellenwyomingdeloy.com.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharge phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Jennifer Noel Taylor on the hit show Quantum Touch Radio, supercharging your life on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll take a quantum journey as well as reveal powerful yet simple steps to create more abundance, better health, emotional and mental vibrancy, and happier relationships using universal quantum touch principles. For more information, visit QuantumTouch.com. Did you know that each Enneagram type has a different worldview, different patterns of thinking, feeling, and behaving? They also have essential qualities that are unique to their type. Understanding this helps us develop more tolerance, respect, and appreciation for ourselves and others. Renee Siegel works with individuals, couples, families, and groups using the Enneagram to build better relationships as a tool in addiction recovery. Visit urpurepotential.com for more info.
It's time to shake out your money-making truth on Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show is more than your roadmap to success. It's your compass to abundance through joy and ease. Jennifer Bloom teaches you about the soul's relationship to money and wealth and how improving that relationship serves both you and the world. Learn more at JenniferBloom.com.
I'm much too fast to take that test.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. Jennifer, before we kind of go ahead and we talk about this process, first of all, how do people find out about you? How do they find out about your show? And then we're going to talk a little bit about the free consultations. So give folks a little bit information about what you're up to.
Yeah, so I'm experimenting with this reframe process. And so as part of that, I'd love to see if I can guide some people through it. So I'm offering some free consultations. So if you're interested, you can email me at jennifer@quantumtouch.com, and we can set it up in a time that works for you. We'll do it over Zoom. And that brings me to where this really got started was I do run a company where we teach energy healing. So quantumtouch.com is a very great method of working with energy. And a lot of this trigger stuff is energy. So we talk a lot about physical healing with Quantum Touch. And then I'm going into, well, how can we change our energy in real life and change our circumstances? So that's
I grew out of energy healing, and now I'm exploring more of the emotional side of it, emotional process work.
I want to ask you a couple of questions. I want to get right back to this, to the process. I've shared with the listeners that over the 18-month period, I looked at it as an opportunity to get some things done that I wouldn't have normally done. One is get two new knees, right? You know, I've been an athlete most of my life and injured my left knee at a very young age playing softball. And I just looked at this opportunity and I said, why not, right? I'm not going to be able to go anywhere. I can't play anything. You know, we were very fortunate to set up a remote operation before COVID. And so I went and got that done. But it's really interesting in the recovery now. I'm my right knee was done in March. My left knee was done in December. And I'm starting to become more active. But I'm really noticing the triggers around this. Now, I've got two whatever kind of thing is in those knees, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with them. So why am I not doing the things that are of the intensity that I'd like to do? So I talked about this the other day, and it starts with identifying the trigger. Can you talk about this a little bit? Because sometimes it's not what we think. You know, sometimes the triggers are not traumatic. For example, in my case, maybe I get a little twinge in my right knee as I'm playing the sport that I love, and that leads me to either continuing or stopping. This is how powerful triggers are, aren't they?
Well, yeah, so triggers, usually I feel like triggers usually happen when something occurs outside of ourselves and we have a very strong emotional reaction to it. And it could be like any kind of emotional reaction is a trigger, but it's usually a negative reaction that we want to pay attention to. And it's usually also, a lot of times, it's not necessarily the intensity of our emotions doesn't necessarily match what happened. So somebody cuts you off in traffic, which is you know, an example that I think we get triggered by a lot, and our emotional intensity is like, rawr, like people flipping people off or whatever, and that I think people get really triggered by that. So it's funny, whatever in your life that you get triggered by, and that can happen on an hourly basis or a daily basis, or it just depends on that. And so this, to me, our triggers are clues into what's going on with our life, like why we aren't creating what we want to create. So no matter if the trigger is trivial or broad, it's still, I believe, they're little clues into what's holding us back. Oh, you're on mute.
Hey, Pat, you're on mute there, darling.
Thanks for doing that. Thank you, Zoom, for doing that. What happens when we start to look at this, and I love that you're really looking at this for a human, from the human perspective, from the human potential perspective. And I also want to talk with you a little bit about the power behind this in healing the body. Because, you know, one of these outcomes might be that, yes, you change your perspective on your partner, or you change your perspective on money. But maybe there's something that's being stored inside of oneself that's causing the body to act in a certain way. Doesn't this process also address that as well?
Yeah, it could also address health stuff. You know, I haven't had a lot of health stuff that I've been dealing with, so I've used it more for relationships, which has been my area of pain in my life. We've seen a lot of scenarios where, let's say, knee pain or some sort of sciatica pain or there's some kind of chronic, it's usually the chronic conditions, usually there's unprocessed emotion behind it. So to me, my chronic condition was really bad relationships.
Yeah.
And so there was unprocessed anger and resentment and hurt that was just projecting into my relationships. For some people, it's medical stuff, you know, physical pain or other issues that it's like the pain is stored in the body rather than released from the system. So we've seen a lot of that with quantum touch where people have these chronic conditions and they process the emotions behind it and the condition releases. So I think it does, you know, have physical repercussions as well as life repercussions and money repercussions, but it's usually our own emotional stuff that prevents, you know, things from healing. So like our natural state, I believe health is our natural state, and the only thing in the way is us and our emotional energy and like blocked energy. And so releasing that can help restore our body to health. It gets rid of the kinks in the hose and lets the body kind of flow the energy.
You know, and part of the last part as we continue this is where I love to hear that you've identified this process. Because when we go through even identifying the trigger, right, and the feeling behind it and relax and release, there's this other big part, right? There's this way we talk about it or the way we look at it or the way that we have the story going on in our mind. And a lot of times we don't go to that next step. We don't go to, let me change. Oh, I have to change my story now because I have this story and I need to work on writing a new story. That right there is the significant key to so many things. And that's the step you've identified. After you go through identifying the trigger, the feeling behind it, relax the feeling, release it, then there's this next part.
Mm-hmm.
What did you find out about the story?
Yeah, so after that, so the story is typically locked in with a lot of emotion. That's why I like to tell people to release the emotion, release the, you know, do the forgiveness process. And then the story almost becomes very light. Like it's just now an idea rather than this truth. Because the emotion is what creates truth around that story. So once you release the emotion, then you can look at, wow, I was running this story that all men are evil sexual predators. And that, you know, so identifying that story about why am I so upset? Well, it's this story that's creating the upset. And we all run into those stories on a regular basis. And like, for example, if somebody cuts you off in traffic, you're saying, well, that person just, people suck. You know, that could be a story that, you know, gets triggered by that, but you realize you have this script running that people are out to get me or whatever script tends to come up when you get triggered. Because normally when we get triggered, there's always some sort of thing we tell ourselves that's going on, and paying attention to that inner dialogue. So if you get triggered by something small, that story is actually kind of usually pretty big. So if someone cuts you off in traffic, people are evil, people don't care, whatever that is, and then that your emotion around that knot, that feeling is what holds that story into place, because part of you may believe that people are evil or people are not nice, or me, I believe men are all evil. And so, of course, you're not going to get married if that's what you believe in, you know. So I like to say identify the story, and then once you've released a lot of the emotion behind it, you can ask yourself, is that story really true? Question your story, you know, and if it's not held in a place by these strong emotions, it'll seem like, wow, that story wasn't really true. I just had this belief around it and these emotions around it. But you kind of separate yourself from that story a little bit, and releasing the feelings allows you to do that. So a lot of times I look at the stories that I tell myself, and, you know, I kind of deal with the emotions, and then I'm like, wow, that story, there's plenty of examples where there's tons of people who are married and happily married, and so I'm writing a story that's not true. And getting to that and allowing yourself to entertain other ideas is a big step.
I love that you're talking about this, because one of the things that struck me as you were speaking is this portal that opens up possibilities when we can do this, right? It's like we're cut off from any other way of thinking about it because we're holding on to this particular story and the trigger and the feeling and everything that goes with them. We're here, like in that box, right? That's us in there about a topic, in your case about relationships, right? But what happens is as we start to go through the process and I hear you talk about it, it's like one side of the box disappears and another side of the box disappears, right? And it opens up for a different perspective. And really that leads to how do we create something different? So how do we move from I'm changing my story and, oh, wow, I'm now manifesting what I really want?
Right. So once you realize that, so usually you don't manifest what you want because you have these stories locked in by strong emotions that tell you that you can't have what you really want.
Yeah.
So, you know, I want to get married. Oh, but I believe all men are evil. Doesn't work. You know, that doesn't work as far as the story. So if you're allowed to, like, release the emotions behind that story and realize that your story may be false, putting in a different story, like, wow, it could be possible to be with a nice man. You start implanting the idea that you're not locked into a certain reality based on your emotions, that you can create something else. So I think all you need to do to manifest what you want is just get out of the way. And we've been told that multiple times by spiritual teachers, you just got to get out of the way. And what that really means is you got to release the emotions that are in the way of what you want. And so that's why I believe the law of attraction is awesome, except sometimes, you know, just doing the visualizations and holding the space doesn't work because you got all these kind of negative emotions in the way. So once you release everything in the way, I think it tends to manifest without you doing a whole lot more, except, you know, you understand what you want. So the law of attraction does work. You can actually connect with what you want, but you got to let go of all the negativity around it first. So that's why I believe in, like, releasing emotions and releasing the story.
You know, I was looking at a couple of things in preparation for the show, and I realized that every day we are faced with these possibilities. Some of them are real game changers, like what you described in relationships. That's like a major life event, so to speak, right? I mean, it's like holding the impression, speaking with someone over the weekend, holding the impression that I'm never going to find the job I love. I mean, and then the story behind it, right? Because then there are stories behind it. But we really are talking about the process that has an end game of literally changing in the material world something, our lives, our jobs, whatever it is, and how to manifest this. This is really what we're talking about. Even if it is working on relationships and aspects of it, what you really want is you want a great relationship with someone. So you want to be able to change those things. But the process in itself, this is where we look at why we don't manifest and what we can do to manifest what we want, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so sometimes, like, I get customers that call in, since we're about physical healing, I'll do a couple more examples. They call in and they're really frustrated and angry about their condition. Well, that frustration and anger locks that into place, right? Their emotions are so strong that you can't help but have that condition because you're so frustrated and angry, and you got all these strong emotions that locks in that pattern into place, right? So if you start to release the anger and frustration and get out of the way, your body will naturally heal itself. So that's one example. Another was money. So I was struggling with money for a long time too. I was really, I was in a lot of debt. I didn't have any saved. And I had a story that, like, I'll never have any money type of story, like a lot of scarcity consciousness from, we kind of were brought up in a family where we said, we can't afford that.
Right.
I'm sure a lot of people were that way. And, you know, bless their hearts, our parents really tried. It was just always, what I picked up was just kind of this feeling of scarcity. So in my real life, instead of saying I can't afford this, I'm going to put it on the credit card and pretend I can't afford it. But I still had that same scarcity script running. And so I had to get down to that story of, wow, I need to release that whole, like, emotional charge about I can't afford this. And I did that, and I got out of debt and saved money, and I think it can, and money seemed, the thing that I'm trying to get is money seemed a lot more fluid after I did that. It didn't seem like the scarce thing that I could have none of. Money to me started to feel like, oh, well, I could do this and bring this in, and money started to feel really more, a lot more fluid. So you can create space in your reality for other things to manifest when you release the emotions around it. And so a lot of that's about creating space to give the space for other things to come in. And that's what I love about releasing the feelings and recognizing that your story is not necessarily right.
Yeah.
And I know we all want to be right. You know, if you see a lot of debates going on right now and a lot of the craziness, like everyone wants to be right about their opinion, but the idea that maybe I'm not right, sometimes that's really humbling, but there could be different stories that are better for us, right?
And that's what I love about this, because I want to talk to you about this when we come back, because we call in a thing, an intention. We call in an intention. I remember this. I mean, it's a really older story from 2001, right after I graduated, but it's a perfect representation of what you're saying. You know, I had done this body of research, and I really wanted it to be published. I wanted the world to know what we discovered in this. And there were three ways we could do it. And so off my committee sends me to the, they send me over there to the academy management. They're like, you've got to publish it. And I thought, oh my gosh, really? And so there were a couple of ways to do this. And so you send in the form and you send in the papers and you do all the right things. And I was holding the intention, because this is what my committee chair wanted, I was holding the intention for the paper to get some award, right? Because I didn't know any better. I just wanted the word to get out. I wanted people to know about what we discovered about broken promises in corporations. I mean, quantitative, that's all I wanted, and I really wanted it. But we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, there's something so interesting that happened with that, and I want to ask you about it. Sometimes you can hold an intention for something, and the energy of it is right there. But that one thing you think you've asked for that's going to make a difference, you don't get. And you might get something else better. When we come back, I don't know if you did this with relationships. When we come back, let's talk about how to get what you're asking for or something better, even if you don't know what the thing is. Jennifer, we're going to take a short break. We'll be right back. When we come back, we're going to tell you how you can work with Jennifer. It's really kind of cool if you just can learn how to change your story. What a difference. We'll tell you about that when we come back, too. We'll be right back. Ordinary people now.
You know, marriage is not always easy, but skills that improve communication go a long way. Tune in to the Relationship Rehab Show, Recovering Happiness in Your Love with Nancy Landrum and Dr. Pat each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Nancy is an author and teacher empowering couples to create and sustain loving marriages. Learn to listen, speak, and handle conflict with respect so your love can flourish. To learn more about Nancy and her work, visit NancyLandrum.com.
Imagine you are a ball of steel, smooth, small, and cool to the touch. Your life will soften you with fire. You will take hits that shape you. You will be forged into a powerful, purposeful work of art. Tune in to Forging a Life with Coach Christine Clark. Join us, Dr. Pat Basile, in a three-part series, Truths in the Creation of Katana, on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Christine Clark, a gifted, engaging speaker and trainer who has forged her life in the fires of self-employment, will take you on a journey to exploring the internal, mental, and emotional blocks that stand between us and a life of significance through an analogy of the process of crafting a traditional Japanese sword, or katana. For more information about Christine, visit sunglowtransformation.com.
Did you know that each Enneagram type has a different worldview, different patterns of thinking, feeling, and behaving? They also have essential qualities that are unique to their type. Understanding this helps us develop more tolerance, respect, and appreciation for ourselves and others. Renee Siegel works with individuals, couples, families, and groups using the Enneagram to build better relationships as a tool in addiction recovery. Visit urpurepotential.com for more info.
How many times do you find yourself saying, it was nothing, or just doing my job, when really you knocked it out of the park? How did you get like this? Next time someone tells you, great job, you'll know how to accept it and not deflect it by listening to Courage to be Seen Radio with host Sherry Clark. Sherry Clark is an experienced global engineering leader, coach, and mentor. From her experiences one-on-one coaching to corporate consulting and executive coaching, Sherry has learned many women need at least three things to discover and face success. Learn about the ACES program, how to survive male-dominated fields with grace and authenticity, and reach the top without ever once giving up on who you are. Courage to be Seen host Sherry Clark explores the awesome power of your entire self and how far you can go by being more you. Check out her website, CourageToBeSeen.com. You have the courage to be seen. See you later. Hey, everybody, change your story, change your story. And, you know, let's talk about change your story. But before we do, Jennifer, please, how can people work on, sign up with you for these free 30 consultations? Please let folks know about how they can do that.
So, yeah, so right now you can email me at jennifer@quantumtouch.com, and we can set up a free 30-minute consultation and working with the reframe process.
I want to talk about this next topic, quantumtouch.com, everyone. I want to talk about this manifestation because I know you're talking about relationships now, but this is a process that even before you started to look at the process, you've really been living a life of this. I mean, when I think about you and Quantum Touch, I mean, I could see it, right? You know, I could see how these things came into place for that to happen. And, you know, changing a story does more than, oh, I think I'm going to change my story. Can you help us connect the dots between what happens when we can do that and follow the process you talked about and what happens in our life now?
All right. So a lot of people are dissatisfied or unhappy with some aspect of their life. That's like me too. I think, right?
Oh, boy, yeah.
Yeah, and so we want something to change. And so we set the intent saying, all right, I'd like $1 million or whatever it is that we want to change. And then we get frustrated because it doesn't change. That's what I've noticed, that we seem to be doing the old pattern rather than the new pattern. And so then we set out to maybe change our strategy. You know, we try to cut back expenses or save more money, but a lot of times that tends to fail because the story underneath it is still the same. So we may try to change our financial strategy, but the story is saying, well, we'll never be wealthy or we'll never have money or we'll always be living paycheck to paycheck. And that story is usually running the show despite our best efforts to make changes. And the reason why that story runs the show is because there's a lot of emotional energy behind that story. So I believe the universe runs off of energy, so it tends to, what we create in our lives tends to be a creation based on where the most energy is. So what I'm suggesting is if we can release a lot of that emotional energy around what we don't want, so the frustration, the pain, the anger, do a forgiveness process on that, you have now created more space for a different energy to come in. And so if you can release your frustration, anger over, you know, whatever's in the way with your money, you know, I'm frustrated because I never get ahead, or you have to forgive your spouse, or whatever it is that is going on there, getting the emotions and getting that to a place where you're not running a lot of energy around it, then you have that space to say, okay, well, now I'm going to create this story and create some positive momentum around a different story. So I feel like that's why it works, is because we're getting out of the way. We're siphoning off the energy that's creating our current reality and giving space for a new energy to come in.
Yeah. And you said something really interesting before, and I want to get back to it and talk about it in the context of living our everyday lives. Sometimes, you know, we hold on to these energies, and it could be about things that, you know, we have some control over, like the political arena, right? And, you know, we have this energy that's get built up, and we don't even see it, right? We don't see it being built up. But if something happens politically that we're not happy about, we go from 0 to 160 miles per hour on it. And yet, even if it's only for a five-minute period, doesn't that still have an effect?
I believe that when you get triggered by something, even something that's not in your life, like a political decision, the reason why you get triggered is because you have an emotional story around something in your own life. So, for example, if I get triggered because President Biden does something I don't like, usually it's because I believe I can't achieve what I want, and it's his fault, right? We tend to go look outside of ourselves for why we can't get what we want in life. And a lot of it's saying, oh, well, now there's runaway inflation, so I'll never have money, or whatever, you know, whatever that story is that's actually personal comes up for people. So yeah. I believe that's why people get triggered, because if they didn't feel like it threatened something about their own survival or life, I don't think we would get so triggered. I think it would be neutral, but because we have these beliefs that, well, he did that, now I can't achieve what I want in life. You know, it's Biden's fault, or it's the anti-vaxxers, or whatever we want to put blame on.
Yeah.
You know, one thing that's coming up right now is, like, the anti-vaxxers are the reason why COVID is still going on. Well, I think looking deeper at that and removing the blame and saying, well, you know, what within me, what am I not getting that I want because of COVID?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a deeper question, and you can eliminate the blame and look at within yourself of what's not working in your life. And I think if we can move out of that blame and look more of processing our own feelings, we can still achieve what we want. The game's still winnable, right?
The game is still winnable, and when we go to that perspective you just mentioned, we see that the game's still winnable. See, we can't see it when we're locked into that emotion. We can't see that there literally, as an example, there are three doors. There's not just one door, right? And you got to figure out what's behind each door as you go through this and see these different perspectives. But if we are so emotionally attached, let me call it, on a perspective like, oh my gosh, everybody I seem to date is unavailable. And that was the story you changed, right? And by changing that, by changing the story, by looking at the trigger, by looking at the emotional layers of that, you were able to look at how to release it. And then by changing your story, boy, you manifested a different deal, right?
Mm-hmm. And that's because I was so locked in emotionally. I was so upset by unavailable men. That was the only pathway, because I had all this emotional energy around unavailable men. So that was the only thing I was seeing. It's almost like we're blinded by our emotions. So if we're really like emotionally invested, let's say, in a certain outcome, which I was very emotionally invested in unavailable men, because that's where I was really triggered. And that's all we see. I felt like I had the ability to convert an available man into an unavailable man because of such a strong energy around it. So I believe the universe follows our energy. So if we can, like, release that whole emotional energy around, you know, what we're frustrated by, we can put energy into something new. And that's really hard to do, because sometimes that frustration, anger, and pain, like, for years and years and years runs very deep. And so getting to that place where we fully release it and do a forgiveness process can be difficult, but I think it's worth it, because then your external reality, you actually change your external reality by doing that. Manifest something different.
You know, I love that you've taken this topic on and that you really have, you know, created this passionate commitment to helping other people. And, you know, so often I think back in my life where, you know, I found myself running in place because personally you can't figure it out on your own. you know, if you have some tools, you can get some insight. And just getting perspective, or in your case, setting up this process for people, is a beautiful way for them to unlock those possibilities. I want to ask you this. The key is then, maybe, the fact that you keep manifesting the things you don't want. That's got to be like one of the keys, like the light bulb moments that go on, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, I think, just manifest the same unhappy thing over and over again. And that's sad. And you know, I'm not perfect. There's some patterns I'm like, oh, that's been going on for years and working on unravel them. I'm certainly not perfect. But it's those things that are really annoying because it's the same unhappy thing. So what I want to do is give people more freedom to release all those feelings and manifest something different. I'm all about freedom, all about no matter what's going on around us and the COVID and all the crazy, I still believe we can manifest what we want and create a happy life. It's just we got to release all that muck and get out of the way. So that's what I'm all about is freedom for people.
Yeah, and so much of it is what you talked about earlier in the show, and I just want to let people know, Jennifer, for you, you know, you're talking about the process that identifies the trigger, that identifies the fueling behind the trigger, and we usually miss that step. And then learning how to relax and release, whatever it is, learning how to do that. And once they can do that, you know, and that's where I say the light bulb went on for me, is you realize that you're holding on to a story. You know, you're holding on to some version of a story. And your story can be a 10-second story. It's still a story that you've got. And then move beyond it. And you really opened up the door for people to work with you on that. You know, thank you for today. I would love to hear from you and know your personal message. And again, let folks know how they can get one of those consultations with you.
Oh, great. Well, yeah, so you can email me at jennifer@quantumtouch.com, and I'll set you up with a free 30-minute consultation. We'll talk about what you want to create and how we can get there. And my whole thing is about freedom, like creating the life that you love, helping people feel hope and inspired. I know right now it's really challenging for a lot of people to, sometimes I get challenged by it too. You know, we feel like hopeless or we're a victim and that whole type of thinking. And I want to help people out of that, give some people some hope and some inspiration and a pathway to get what you truly want in life. And that's really what I'm about.
I love it. Jennifer, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your message. And again, that email one more time so people can sign up with you.
Sure. It's jennifer@quantumtouch.com. You can just email me and we'll set up a free consultation.
So my message to all everybody out there, don't give up on your manifestation dream. And what Jennifer is talking about is how often we will compromise on it only because we just don't have the solution that you identified today in the show. And so ask yourself the question, what would it really look like? What would be possible if I could just manifest that dream I have today and figure out what's holding me back, why I'm running in place? Yeah, life is not a jump roping exercise, although jump roping is great exercise. It's more like taking the gold at the marathon. Thank you. Thank you, Jennifer, for everything today. Thank you so much for joining me.
Great. Well, thank you. I really appreciate being on the show. Thank you.
This program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW.